Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al-Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, you will discuss issues, relevant questions, and other fields regarding the Islamic upbringing of children. And we would like to stress that the answers that we provide in this program are all based upon the narrations of the household of the Prophet and, of course, of the Prophet himself, and upon the Holy Quran, supplemented with scientific research. Joining us in the studio today is our dear friend, Sheikh Ali Himani, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and thank you for joining us.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. It's my pleasure to be here in your studio.
Sheikh, today we'll be talking about teenagers as a whole. Some people call this phase the phase of changes, the age of changes, the phase that is characterized by stubbornness, by rebels, by all sort of things, by attitude changes, by anger, by, of course, a lack of patience.
Emotional outburst.
Emotional outburst. Basically emotional instability.
Correct.
Right? But let's take a step back and let's try to think about this logically. So what are teenagers then?
If you ask me personally, you're right. A lot of people define them as being stubborn, as being rebel, as being, you know, some not listening to parents and, you know, back answering parents and, you know, fighting in the school, you know, ending up with, you know, black eye every now and then on all that stuff. But I think that's not the precise definition of this age. I would, again, you know, like we pointed out in our earlier recording, I would call this age the age of self-identification. Because here, the person is exploring himself. He's trying to know and understand what he can do, what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses, what are his possible opportunities, what are the threats for him, where can he get to, where does he want to be in future. And there are times when he's not able to associate with people around him. For example, he goes to school. He wants to establish himself as an identity, as a person. He looks at his teacher and he says, I don't want to be like that. You know, I don't want to be that kind of a short-tempered person. Or I don't want to be this person who humiliates other student in the class. So I don't want to be that. He comes home and he sees the father is shouting on the mother, or, you know, he's short-tempered, he's beating up kids. And he's like, I don't want to be that. Right? So sometimes the ideal person that the child picks, the teenager picks, is by eliminating some people, you know. Sometimes we look at a father and say, my God, my father, look at him. He's so good. He's well-mannered. He offers prayers. He does azadari. He's a practicing Muslim. He does charity. He respects others. I want to be like that. On the other hand, sometimes the parents, like you pointed out, the parents need to take the responsibility. They just can't leave everything onto the school and say they have to. The behavior of the parents decide how the teenage is going to turn out.
And let's just take a side note here, a very important side note, I might add, because if the child, he sees that his own father or his mother or his big brother or his sister, whoever it may be, but somebody who is close to him and who are religious, act in a bad manner, they will also eliminate, as you said, these persons and by extension, what they believe in.
Exactly. So
by associating all of these bad things
actions,
with religion.
Correct, correct. And that's why I remember in one of the books that was written here, it has a Farsi name, Mane Digare Mai. It was by Sheikh Abbasi Waledi. In one of these books, I think volume 1 or volume 2, he specifically states that mother, when she's wearing the chadar of namaz, when she's offering salat, he says that if you see your child misbehaving, don't shout or, you know, reprimand them wearing that salat chadar. Why? Because the child associates reprimanding with that chadar of the salat. And he will not dislike the mother, but he will dislike that state of salat.
To that extent. And with that, I will unfortunately have to interrupt you because we'll be going on a quick break.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. Dear Sheikh, just before we went on a quick break, we were talking about how a child associates things, bad things, for example, to certain people, and when they are trying to determine their future, who they want to be, they eliminate these people.
Exactly.
And we said how this can have a disastrous effect if the person in question, he is bad-mannered and he is religious.
Exactly. So let me continue from where we left that. You know, if the child, if a teenager looks at his father and sees that he's a bad-tempered person or a short-tempered person, he eliminates this person. He says, I don't want to be like him.
I do not want to be like my father.
Exactly. Right. I don't want to be like my elder brother or my grandparents or whatever. And then after eliminating all these entities and personalities, like you pointed out, they start eliminating their belief system as well because they say...
By extension.
Okay, extension. Right. They say, okay, he believes in Islam.
And he acts this
and
way.
And he acts this way. If he's bad, Islam is definitely bad.
Right. Yeah.
This and that and all adds up, and then they start eliminating.
When the they eliminate fallacy, right?
And that's a fallacy. And when they eliminate all this, and what's left with them is your Superman, the Batman,
good,
Spider-Man,
or the good teacher at school. He's mild mannered, but he's not religious at all.
Atheist,
he doesn't care about Islam.
A materialist,
but
a
he's
well
mannered.
He's
well mannered. He smiles a lot. He laughs a lot.
And he respects the child.
Exactly. The moment he respects the child.
Child. And that is where he feels like, oh, this guy, I like
him.
He's
a good person.
And he's a good person. I want to be like him.
Right. He is a good person. By extension, his beliefs are also good.
Exactly.
And that's the problem.
So when he says, I want to be like him, it's not about just being the person. I want to be like him and I want to believe in things that he believes in, because what he believes in is what has made him a good person.
Exactly. Right. So does this happen, Sheikh, at a subconscious level, or is this an active conscious decision that goes through the children's mind?
This happens at a subconscious level because the brain comprehends certain data, and the subconscious brain comprehends these minute behavior patterns from different people. Though the subconscious mind sends the command to the conscious mind, the decision is already made at the subconscious level.
Right. Okay.
So knowingly, unknowingly, this person starts liking a particular teacher because he's well-mannered.
Actually, we also have a narration that says that is actually a fitrah. It is a part of your existence, yourself. When Emir Muin alayhi salam, he says, one of the ways you can determine bad-mannered people is simply by looking at them.
Exactly.
How they behave, he means, of course. You will subconsciously or consciously disassociate yourself with them and learn that these are bad behaviors.
Bad people. Correct.
Right, yeah.
So this age is very, very important age, because this age defines the rest of the life for the child. That if he ends up being introvert, because the parents constantly reprimand him, tell him that you're not good at this, you're not good at that, you're not doing this well, you're bad at studies, you're bad at play. And then he ends up becoming an introvert, then he will be an introvert for the rest of the life.
Or at least antisocial.
Antisocial. Right. He won't have friends around him, right?
Right.
And if he ends up becoming arrogant or a bully because the parents are giving him too much leniency,
freedom. You said that being introverted or antisocial, it is a problem. But some people, especially, of course, in the US, they say it's just a personality trait. He likes to stay at home, being alone. Isn't that normal, or does Islam have a different saying on this?
See, when we look at human beings, be it Islam...
Sorry, Sheikh, let's have the answer to this question. Yes,
all right, let's come back after the break.
Let's go ahead and take a quick break.
The Prophet wasallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You are now listening to the program Islamic Upping. Sheikh, just before we went on a break, I was going to ask you this question. You said, mentioned that being introverted or antisocial is a bad thing. But in the US or also in other countries, when we say that this child, he prefers to stay at home alone, read a book or do something alone at home, just a personality trait. Does Islam have a different view on this, or is it also just normal?
Islam has a different point of view on this, and it's a very detailed and extended discussion. But let me try and consolidate and share this part as quickly as possible. Look, Islam says that the purpose of the creation of man is to attain kamal. Now, perfection or kamal, and I thought kamal would be a very common word for people to understand. So, perfection, right? So, the goal is to attain perfection and attain absolute perfection, meaning that associate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? So, you be able to relate with Him and gain that marifat. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created man with this goal. This goal cannot be achieved being an isolated person. You cannot go into desert, staying away from all mankind and, you know, just offer namaz there, fast and, you know, live there and then suddenly...
Worship
you
Allah isolation.
Exactly. Right. And you're not going to attain that at a speed of light.
But whereas that's an extreme case.
That's... No, I'm trying to point out that the purpose of man, the way the man is created, is not to live isolated, but to live as a social being so that his needs are fulfilled. All types of different needs, right from his basic needs to his security needs, to his social needs, to his self-esteem needs, to be in the society, to visit a doctor, to have children, to attend school, including his own physical needs. You need other people around you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly states, Islam clearly states that if you live in the society and practice Islam, you will attain perfection much, much faster than what you would have attained living in isolation.
Right.
Western world also defines man as a social being.
A social creature.
A social creature, social being, and living in isolation is considered as a psychological problem. You know,
right.
Some might, you know, make an excuse that it's a personality type, but if you look at the psychologist and the subject of psychology, you will see that it is listed as one of the problems.
Being introverted?
Being introverted and isolated.
And isolated.
Isolated.
Some people are introverted, but they still mix and mingle, but at the end of the day, they prefer to be at home. Is that also a disorder in your view as a psychologist?
Not necessarily. You know, as long as you're maintaining your social life, and, you know, maintaining your social responsibilities assigned by Islam,
right,
then that's okay. Some people might like to speak less, so others might categorize them as introvert, but that's a different thing.
Right.
The introvert that we are talking about here is that, you know, imagine a child getting bullied in the school and constantly reprimanded by the teacher. Well, I mean, and
obvious it is a mental disorder.
Exactly. So this is where I'm trying to point out that when this happens at teenage level, when he's getting bullied by the other people, he's getting reprimanded at home by the parents for not doing this, not doing that, and not able to complete his homework, going to school, teacher reprimanding him, ends up becoming an introvert. This introversy is going to continue for the rest of the life. So this teenage, the age factor here is very important.
So you can either make them or
break
them.
Or breaks them, right? So then again, here the teenager, because he's trying to identify himself and establish an identity, he will join a couple of groups and try and associate with them and see which one matches with his personality the most.
They try to fit in. Even those who claim that they are lonely people or they are antisocial, they themselves are labeling themselves and assigning themselves to a group.
So that they can fit into something.
Exactly.
Else, right?
Yeah.
And this is where some of the problems come in, that when the teenager fits into the wrong group, right? Yes. And this is where all that's the problems start.
Yeah, even the radicalization starts with terrorists.
Correct.
People who are misunderstood, and then you suddenly find a preacher, he's a well-mannered, he listens to their problems, to their problems, and mashallah.
So there are steps that can be taken to avoid our kids, our children, going to the wrong groups and fitting into the wrong groups. And inshallah, we'll look at that.
Right. Okay. Let's discuss these tips and tricks, inshallah, in the following session.
Inshallah.
Thank you for contributing to this discussion, and also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. If our dear listeners have any suggestions, feedback, or some comments, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir. Alternatively, you can also visit our website, parstoday.com. You can also find us on various social media websites, such as on Twitter and Instagram, under the call handle of Call of Islam Radio. Thank you for tuning in.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest.